and welcome to this week's episode of Diamond Insights with me, your host, Naleli Star. So in this week's episode, we're going to be talking about self-management, which is also referred to as self-leadership. So you will hear me use these terms interchangeably. They're not different at all in this context. So generally, when we talk about leadership, we're always thinking about exerting our influence on other people to help them reach their maximum potential, to help show guidance and direction to them. We normally think of leadership or management as an external influence, as an external activity, and never actually stop to think about intra-leadership, intra-management, how you're managing yourself, how you're providing leadership for yourself to achieve your goals, to give direction to your life, to give direction to your efforts, to manage your emotions, to manage your thoughts. And that is something that I want us to talk about in today's episode. So, I'm sure some of you are wondering, what then is self-leadership or self-management? So, I'm going to just give a simple definition, really. Self-leadership describes how you lead your own life, deciding which direction to go, following it, that is providing personal accountability and correcting yourself as you go along. I love that last bit, correcting yourself, and we'll dive a bit into it when we talk about why it's important to provide self-leadership. I also want to pick a definition by some authors. This is Brian and Kazan. And they say self-leadership is the practice of intentionally influencing your thinking, your feelings, and actions towards your objectives. So if you have listened to episode 1, 2, and 3 this far, you will realize that I'm actually talking about getting into a place where you want to start providing direction for your life. So this is you deciding what your purpose is. This is you deciding what you want to achieve in life, creating a personal vision, breaking it down into smaller objectives, and also deciding what your values are. I did mention that having a personal vision in place and values makes decision making very easy, because every time you reach a crossroads or you reach a place where you kind of feel like you're in a dilemma and you don't know which direction to go or what decision to make, you just look at what your values are, you look at what your personal vision is, and you make the decision that promotes either of those things. So I want us to talk about, why is it important to provide self-leadership? I think one of the things that we can all agree on is that a person who provides self-leadership for themselves is efficient, is effective, is well organized. I'll give an example, and I think you've heard this from my previous episodes. My boss is one of such people. He is organized, he is efficient, he is effective in the way that he does things. If you have worked for an organization where leadership is very important, or at least it shows in the aspects of the organization, you will see just how effective, how efficient, how responsive, how organized they are as an institution. And that's something that we want as individuals, to make sure that we are efficient, to make sure that we're being effective, and that we're being organized, so we're not wasting our time, we're not wasting our resources. You know, we know at each point what we're supposed to be doing and what direction that we're going in. Another issue that we can say, which all these factors that I'm going to talk about are actually interlinked. So self-leadership or self-management is a stepping stone for success. So you will never find anybody who is successful who doesn't have some sort of a routine or some sort of a ritual or some sort of a sphere of influence or some sort of bubble around them. They have their beliefs clearly laid out, they have their values, they have a mission They know what their purpose is in life. They know the direction in which they're going. Simply put, they're not a jellyfish. My mom always used to like telling me, I was in boarding school, by the way, and every time when she was sending me off for a term, she would always tell me, do not be a jellyfish. A jellyfish, when you've been taught like you're a jellyfish, you literally go whatever direction it is. The Bembas normally say, kwa lolo mwela eko walola. Do not be that kind of a person. And you will not find a person who provides proper self-leadership to be a person who behaves like a jellyfish. So they know where they're at, they know where they're going, they are self-aware, they're self-disciplined, and those are components of success. Those are stepping stones for success. So another issue is it helps you to avoid silly mistakes. One of my friends in a conversation said to me, Nalu, right now in my life, I am monitoring what I am thinking. Before I make a decision, I am very critical of what that decision will entail, not just for myself, for my family, for my employability, for my career growth, for my social life. I am constantly evaluating. She says she never wants to get at the end of a journey or gets to the end, the implication of a decision, sit back and say, she had no idea what she was thinking. So it helps you to avoid silly mistakes because you are no longer spontaneous. You know, there are times when we like to do things spontaneously. We're not thinking through it. You know, we are more reactive and like responsive. So those are two different terminologies. When you provide self-leadership or self-management, you become responsive, not reactive. Reacting is just being spontaneous, just wanting to react to anything. Being responsive is being mindful, being intentional, being deliberate in the way that we are responding to things that are happening to us, regardless of whether it's a person or it's a situation. So when you're providing self-leadership, you are able to see all those things come into play. Another issue that I can talk about is that you become an inspiration for other people. So you inspire confidence from other people. People can come to you and seek counsel. One of the things that I have never ever done in my life, and I'm a person who really longs for financial independence, and I'm working towards it, but one thing I have never done is go to somebody who is in debt to seek advice about becoming financially independent, because it is clear they are not providing leadership for themselves. That's the way that they found themselves in debt. So now that we're done with the reason or why self-leadership is important, I want us to chat a bit about how to cultivate self-leadership. How do you move from a place of, you know, being absent-minded, or from a place of being reactive, to a place of being critical, to a place of being responsive, to a place of providing yourself with leadership, and also managing yourself as an individual? Because it is just not about managing a team or managing a household, it's also about you as an individual. This is an aspect of personal growth. So the leadership that you provide to external people, to external teams, is only as good as the leadership that you provide yourself. You cannot provide to others what you fail to provide to yourself. So I want to talk about the first thing, which we spoke about in the last episode, where we covered self-awareness. So one of the issues that you need to pay particular attention to if you are going to provide self-leadership is to become self-aware. You need to get into a position where you actually self-examine yourself, where you self-examine. So don't sugarcoat. It's not an interview. The other time my friends and I were just laughing about weaknesses, and how when you go for an interview and they ask you what your weakness is, you're kind of thinking, okay, what kind of weakness can I actually say that will make me look employable? When you're doing this process, you need to be raw with yourself. You need to be honest. You need to be truthful with yourself. If you have made a mistake, you need to correct yourself. You need to acknowledge that you've actually made a mistake, so that you're able to correct yourself. Be open to feedback. You cannot provide self-leadership without looking into issues of feedback. You need to allow other people to feed into what you are doing, to give you a response on how you are doing. Last time we did talk a bit about blind spots. So blind spots are a dangerous aspect of our lives, because that's a part of ourselves that we're not fully aware of. So every time that we allow people to give us feedback, we are making that blind spot smaller and smaller, because then it is coming to our attention that there's actually something that we need to improve on. Don't ever view feedback as a vote of no confidence. Always receive feedback as a stepping stone for improvement, a better way to do something, an opportunity for you to grow. That's the only way that you're going to like feedback. I know I used to hate feedback, but now I love feedback because I view it this way. So another thing that you can do to cultivate self-leadership is practice new behaviors centered on mindfulness and personal growth. You need to be very intentional about growing yourself. Last time we did talk a bit about knowing what your weaknesses are, you know. What are those weaknesses? What are you doing to mitigate or elevate them at the end of the day? So what are you doing? Being mindful, being present with yourself at all times. You know, we need to stop being absent-minded, because that is how we get to the end of something and say, I have no idea what I was doing, or I have no idea what I was thinking. So every time that we are mindful, we are very present to what is happening now, but also we are able then to think through what some of the consequences are for the decisions that we're making, for the actions that we're taking. Another aspect that we can look at is encourage internal communication. What are you saying to yourself? This is so important. You cannot experience the kind of growth that you want without managing your thoughts, without constantly managing your mind. You need to know what you're saying to yourself. In fact, I think I always argue that what you say to yourself is more important than what people actually say to you, because those people say what they say, and sometimes we can forget what we say to ourselves sticks with us, because we are the only person who's hearing it. And sometimes it has a tendency of kind of running like a broken record. It's just there in the back of our minds, in our subconscious. It's continuously running. Even when you're doubting yourself, sometimes you kind of feel like you're out of that environment that is causing the doubt, but because of the communication that you're constantly giving yourself, that doubt is being cooked, it's being developed, sometimes even without you intentionally doing it. It's just there. It's the communication that we give ourselves when we shame ourselves for something, when we speak negatively of a situation. We are not doing ourselves any favors. So we need to be very mindful about what we're communicating to ourselves. When we come in contact with a challenge, what is our first reaction? You know, how do we perceive situations? Sometimes we don't speak out how we're feeling. We don't speak out our thoughts, but they are in us. We're able to feel, we're able to process them. And the very fact that we're processing them makes them real. So we need to be very mindful about our intra-communication. Another aspect that I can talk about is self-discipline. We need to aim to build self-resilience, the ability to adapt, the ability to respond positively. Every time that we say yes, we are saying no. There is no gray area. There is no in-between. There is no yes, no. There is either yes or no. And every time we say yes, we're saying no. Every time we say no, we're saying yes. So I'm going to give you an example. I've been trying to lose weight, and I'm doing very well. Every now and then my weight goes up. Like, I have spent the last, I think, 5 days eating cake. So yeah, I think I've gained a kilo or something like that. But every time I said yes to that craving for cake, I said no to weight loss. That's just the way life works. It's an opportunity cost. You can't have it both ways. So you can only either eat your cake or have it. You can't eat it and have it at the same time. So I want us to work towards developing self-discipline. Self-discipline also comes with self-respect. I remember the first time that I was trying out wet loss. It was just after I had given birth to my daughter, my firstborn. I had tried, I think, for like 3 months and I wasn't seeing anything. And it's not because I wasn't exercising, but then I wasn't watching what I was eating. So I would exercise with a group of ladies that I was exercising with. But then when everyone goes back to their homes and I'm in my home, in my comfort, in a private setting, I would eat whatever it is that I want. So it would counter the effort that I had made earlier. So when I finally got to the realization of, okay, I'm not helping myself by going out there, exercising, and then coming back home and eating like a pig. So I decided I am going to set up a theme for my weight loss journey, and that was self-respect. And that is to say, when I say I am going to do something, I am going to commit to it, I'm going to go through with it because I am worthy and I respect myself. How else can other people respect us if we don't respect ourselves? That is something that I take pride in. I'm not saying I have mastered it fully, but I don't think I'm doing as bad as the previous years. So this time I tell myself I'm going to do something and I aim to do it. Even for my annual goals, majority of the times I'm at least above 70% when I come to the end of the year, because I focus. I am constantly checking. I actually check every quarter. I sit down, I analyze, okay, this is what I have done. This is where I'm lagging behind. What do I need to do to catch up? What do I need to go to the next level so that I don't have to get to the next quarter and be doing the same things that I should have been doing the previous quarter? And it's the same with our lives. In any aspect of our life, actually, we need self-discipline. If you tell yourself, I'm going to read, or I'm going to do one thing every day that is going to go towards improving myself, whether it's listening to a podcast, whether it's watching a video on YouTube, whether it's having a meaningful discussion with somebody, asking, or just, you know, Googling something, find an article to read, reading a book, you know, all those are things that can help you develop. The important thing is you know what you want, you know what actions you need to take, and you're actually taking those steps. Also, it's an issue of, for example, when you finally get to figure out what your values are, it's sticking to them, regardless of what the situation is. It's saying, I chose this for myself, because nobody is going to set up values for you. So, for example, in our family, I grew up in a Christian family, but as we grew, I saw that my mom lost control of how much Christians we can become. So, essentially, it was up to us to pick it up. How much of a Christian did I want to be? What are my beliefs? What do I choose to believe in? How am I going to live out my Christianity? What am I going to do to actually build that relationship with God? Because my mother no longer has that force or that influence on me. I'm now an adult. So it's an issue of personal accountability. And then also, I want to talk about enthusiasm for learning. And I think I did allude this a bit when I spoke about, when I gave the example of self-improvement. So you need to learn. We are not born leaders. I don't like the theory that leaders are born. Leaders are made. You can be made. There's also an issue of situational leadership. But I love to believe that leaders can be made. So you can become a leader. Each one of us is a leader, and we become a leader by feeding ourselves with the necessary information that we need to actually build the character of a leader. So we need to be constantly learning. We need to be enthusiastic about learning, regardless of whether it is sitting in a class and learning, or listening to other people who have gone ahead of us, or reading books, or anything that really just supports our learning and the development of our character. That is something that we should take keen interest in. And lastly, be honest about your capability. There's nothing like overselling yourself and then failing to deliver. A lot of people do that because we want to live up to a certain standard. In the society that we live in now, it's like there's the glass ceiling, maybe I should say, or maybe there's some sort of a standard. There's a way we are boxed. I think that's a correct word maybe that I can use for this context. We are boxed. So we do not believe that we are who we are until we reach a certain mark that society has placed for us. And so sometimes the temptation is there to want to oversell so that the rest of society can see that we have reached that mark or that we have reached that standard, which should not be the case. Always be honest about your capabilities, because integrity is very important. You need to be a credible person. If you say you are able to do something, be able to do it. If you are committing to doing something, make sure that you actually have the time and the skill to do that thing to the best of your ability, or at least to make sure that it reaches, you know, the best quality that it can. So always aim to deliver your best. In cases where you are unable to, be honest about it and take that as an opportunity to learn. Do not be shy about telling people your deficiencies. Of course, you need to be very careful how you share what your deficiencies are or what your weaknesses are, but do not run away from them. We are all human. We all have deficiencies. And these are aspects of our lives that we can actually celebrate, because they present an opportunity for us to learn. At the end of the day, it's just perspective. When it comes to deficiencies and weaknesses, I like to think perspective is very, very important. So that is it for this week's episode, as we were talking about self-leadership. I hope you will join me next week. I am hoping to be doing a book review or a Bible study. I hope that you will join me. Enjoy the rest of the week.